Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Anora, Bird, and Martha.
I would like to talk about today three movies with one-word titles. And in fact, they're more or less names, each one of those one words. So maybe that's a trend, movies with really brief, short, snappy titles. And the first one is Anora. And Anora is the new movie from Sean Baker. And I think Sean Baker has made some good movies in the past. Tangerine, a really good movie. The Florida Project, a really, really interesting movie. And some that I think are not so interesting. I will say right now that I think Anora is one of the worst ones. I don't much like it at all. It's gotten a lot of rave reviews, and it won the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival this year. Okay, I used to go to the Cannes Film Festival every year, year after year after year, and sometimes the movies that won the big prizes there were really kind of mysterious how they ever achieved that status, and I would put Anora in that category. I just don't think it deserves much like that, but again, it's gotten a lot of very good reviews, and so I think I ought to talk about it a bit. So, Anora is the name of the main character, who is of Russian extraction, although she usually goes by her nickname, which is Annie. And she is a sex worker. And that's one of the things that sometimes happens with these movies that win the big prize at the Cannes Film Festival. Sometimes they are just full of sex. A few years ago, there was a lesbian movie called Blue is the Warmest Color that just was not a very good movie, and it won the top prize. So anyway, Anora is another one of these. It's not a lesbian movie, but it is just overloaded with sex. And maybe that's the thing that seduces the juries at the Cannes Film Festival these days. In any case, she is a sex worker. And at the very beginning of the movie, she meets a new client at this club where she provides her services. His name is Ivan, or Ivan, and he is very, very Russian. And one of the reasons why he bonds a bit with Annie, Anora, is that, yeah, she speaks some Russian. She understands some Russian. And so there they are. So they start this relationship. And of course, at first, it's purely a commercial relationship. He is paying her a lot of money and she is giving him a lot of sex, and it goes on and on and on. One of the problems with the movie Anora is that everything goes on and on and on. It's a movie that's well over two hours long, and the whole first part is sex, 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 on and on and on. So if that's what you want to see, well, you'll get your money's worth out of the first part of this movie. But for me, I just said after a while, enough, enough, enough of this. So they have lots of kinds of sex at the club where Anora works. Then they go to Ivan's home, and it is a fabulous home. It is obviously the home of an exceedingly rich person. Well, it turns out his father is a hugely important person back in Russia with all kinds of money and power and stuff like that. So, okay. Then the relationship between Anora and Ivan gets a bit deeper because he decides he'd like to get married. And he actually proposes to her. And okay, it seems to be another commercial transaction, but they clearly do get along and they like each other. And so, okay, now they're going to get married. So that's just fine. So that's the whole first part of the movie. Then, however, that wealthy and powerful father, Ivan is usually called Vanya, by the way, that wealthy and powerful father back in Russia gets wind of this, and he's going to put a stop to this. His son is not going to marry some hooker. So he sends his own strong guys, these muscular fellows, to Vanya's house, that was the father's house actually, but and says, put a stop to this, get rid of this, terminate this marriage, have it annulled, have it divorced, whatever is going to happen, end this marriage. So then Vanya runs away. He just runs out of the house and takes off while these strong-arm guys are there to try to muscle him into ending the marriage. So now we have the second part of the movie, which is the search for Vanya. And what happens? It goes on much, much too long. This all takes place in New York, and they're running all over these different neighborhoods of Queens and so forth, and they're looking for Vanya. And that goes on and on and on. I got really, really tired of that after a while. Okay. Finally, of course, they find Vanya. And then we get to the last part of the movie, which is, I think, the shortest part. I didn't have a stopwatch out, but I think so. And it's by far the best part. I finally started to like Anora when we got to the third part, the last section of it, when it slows down, it quiets down, and things don't go on too long. So, okay. Anora is a movie which is made with a phenomenal amount of energy. Pretty much all of Sean Baker's work is full of energy. Okay, the performances, the acting, a lot of energy there too. I respect that. That's just fine. But again, it's a movie I just couldn't take to. It is too frenetic. It is too bustling. It is too noisy. It is too busy. And again, everything goes on much too long. So take my advice. Show up for maybe the last 20 minutes. You may not know what's going on, but at least you'll see some interesting performances and okay. But my gosh, about the first 2 hours of this long movie really, really wore me out. I didn't much like it. So I don't recommend Anora. Next movie I'm going to talk about, Bird. Another one-word title, is a movie I liked a lot better. I don't think it's any kind of a masterpiece, but yeah, okay, I did like Bird quite a lot. It's directed by Andrea Arnold, who's a very, very interesting director, who's made quite a number of really interesting movies. And I think that she doesn't always hit the mark every single time, but she's one of the important presences in today's independent movie scene. She made Fish Tank many years ago, American Honey, Red Road. Interesting filmmaker in all kinds of ways. A version of Wuthering Heights, the great novel, just a few years ago, which I really did rather like. So Bird is her new movie, and it is another movie, one of her specialties. It's very, very much about working class life. So we have here a story that takes place in southern England, but very, very working class surroundings. And we have a family that's at the center of it. And the dad of the family, his nickname is Bug, played by Barry Keoghan, by the way, who gives you a little idea of what kind of guy this is. He is not, let's say, an upscale sort of a fellow. He is about to get married, and he has to pay for his wedding. It's not going to be a fancy wedding, but he has to pay for it. And he thinks he has a way he can raise the money for it. He has gotten from the United States a certain breed of toad whose slime is said to be able to be a sort of a drug, a hallucinogen. So, okay, he's going to import a bunch of these toads, and he's going to make a fortune out of this druggy toad. They call it the drug toad. So that's how he's going to pay for his wedding. So, okay, that's one storyline that's going through the movie. But a more important character than Bug is his daughter, Bailey. She is only 12 years old. She came from one of his earlier female relationships. She has a new stepmother who she doesn't like at all because the woman that Bug is about to marry. And my gosh, her own mother now has a new boyfriend who is a very, very bad guy. So Bailey is really the main character of the movie, played by a non-professional actor who is very, very good and who's almost always on the screen. And it's a very impressive achievement that Andrea Arnold both found this wonderful young actor and got her to play this part so wonderfully convincingly. Now, since this is all very, very working class, very scuffy, very downscale, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, which is, let's say, not exactly admirable. The older kids, the kids older than Bailey, they're just a bunch of rapscallions, and they get into trouble, and there's gangs, and there's crime, and there's stuff like that. The one thing that kind of keeps Bailey on an even keel, dealing with her bizarre father and dealing with all the other kids around her and so forth, is that she just loves birds. There we have, of course, the title of the movie. She really loves birds. Now, there's one other really important character in this movie, played by Franz Rogowski, and his name is Bird. So again, we have another one-word title of this movie, and it's the name of a character. He's called Bird. He apparently has come down from Scotland. For some reason, he has what sounds to me like a German accent, and he is looking for somebody, and he doesn't know his way around here at all. He's very much from the outside, wearing a kilt. So he asks Bird for help, and sooner or later, they become friends, and they travel through a lot of the movie together. So what we have here is the kind of movie that the very great filmmaker Ken Loach always does. In fact, this reminded me often, and I'm not the only person who can say this, one of Ken Loach's earlier movies called Kes, about a young boy from a very, very downscale working class environment who raises a pet bird, a kestrel. And in this case, we don't exactly have that, but we do have birds in the movie. And we have a character called Bird, and we have a young main character who really loves birds. So, okay. And also it has, again, that working class ambiance, that's very downscale kind of atmosphere with a lot of rough stuff going on and a very young protagonist who's trying to put together a life in these very adverse circumstances. So it reminded me of a Ken Loach movie. Okay, that's fine. However, this is very much an Andrea Arnold movie. It's beautifully filmed. The acting, some of which is by non-professionals, has the real ring of truth, and it's very, very well done. Now, the most controversial aspect of the movie Bird is that eventually, with all of this stark realism that I've been emphasizing, it slips into magical realism. In other words, things take place which are impossible in the world we live in. I'm not going to give that away. It involves the character called Bird, and we have things that turn into almost a kind of a fairy tale, and a pretty rough fairy tale as well. Things, again, that could not happen in the real world that we live in. So we have a movie here which mingles a sort of very, very direct and passionate realism with a very, very bold and brave kind of magical realism. And I just found that a very interesting combination. I'm not going to say it works 100% of the way, but my gosh, Andrea Arnold is really willing to take risks. She takes risks a lot. Her last movie, Cow, was a documentary about the life of a cow. This film is very much not a documentary. Again, it's a blend of stark realism and magical realism, but I found it a really interesting experiment, and I really recommend giving it a shot. It's a really fascinating film. And our third movie for today with a one-word title, who is somebody's name, and it is a documentary, and the name is Martha, and that is Martha Stewart. And here we have a movie which is directed by R.J. Cutler, and it is such an interesting documentary. It is streaming on Netflix, and I really recommend it. Now, I have to lay my cards on the table here and say I have never been interested in Martha Stewart. Really not. Kind of a slightly interesting public personality. And it was very interesting when she got convicted of insider trading in the stock market and actually went to jail for a while. That was interesting. I sort of, noticed that when it was in the news. But as a personality, as a business person and all of that, she has just never interested me. But this movie turns out to be really terrific. I really had a good time looking at it. So what we have here is we learn about Martha Stewart's childhood and how she grew up with a father who was, let's just say, not all that great a father. And he really insisted on perfection for himself, which he did not meet at all, and perfection for his kids. And she learned her love of gardening from him and so forth. And then as she got older, she really decided she wanted to do something different. And of course, she got into the world of homemaking and cooking and furnishing a house and doing all the things that she did. And then she built a huge empire out of that. It's a real business empire. And she just did all kinds of fabulous things with writing books and putting together media enterprises that all centered around this idea that she was the authority who could tell all women, and in fact all people, how to live gracious, better lives, how to do wonderful things for themselves to make their lives better, etc. She became fascinatingly important and famous. Then, of course, she got convicted of insider trading. She went off to jail. Then she got out of jail, and she managed to reinvent herself and come back into the spotlight again. So a really interesting personality. So the sort of promotion for the movie Martha says that it's in Martha Stewart's own words. And I thought, well, okay, this isn't going to be that interesting a movie because it's just going to be her telling us how terrific she is and her making excuses for the things that she did wrong and this and that. Well, there is a bit of that in the movie, I admit. However, what the film does really well, and I have to give the director, R.J. Cutler, full credit for this, there's a lot of Martha Stewart talking into the camera. Yes, answering questions, sometimes uncomfortable questions, sometimes she tries to dodge them. There's a lot of that. But also, we hear from a lot of other people, and very often just on the soundtrack, so we're not constantly cutting from one talking head to another. And these other people really do give some of the inside story and really do contradict some of the spin that Martha Stewart herself is putting on things. And it's just a really artful intermixture of Martha Stewart's own words and the words of other people talking about her and sometimes giving, what seems to be a more straightforward story as to what really went on. The end of the movie does, as almost always with documentaries these days, gets too sentimental and all of that. But most of the way, I was just so interested in this. It's just a really good story, and it's really well told. And of course, she makes a good media personality. It's fun to watch her talk and listen to her talk. It's fun to watch her sort of dodge some questions and say sometimes, that's too uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about that. And then maybe somebody else comes on the soundtrack and talks about it instead. So I'm just going to sum up here by saying, if you care about Martha Stewart, then this is the movie you have to see. If you're like me and you never really cared much about Martha Stewart, you might be very pleasantly surprised that this really, really well-made documentary. Nothing cutting-edge about it, nothing innovative, pretty straightforward stuff, but just really, really well done. It tells an interesting story in an interesting way, and I just had a good time watching it. So, Anora, a movie I don't much like. Bird, a movie I like quite a lot. And Martha, a movie I like a lot. So I can recommend at least two out of the three of these movies with short, snappy titles. And that is my, I hope, short, snappy story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Anora, Bird, and Martha.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.